33, we read, "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth.'" Here, David's a youth, and, you know, he's a youth, and he's probably like the youngest guy there. He's probably the youngest guy there. That's why he wasn't there. That's why he gets to babysit chief instead of being there at the battle, right? So here, God takes the least likely candidate to go out and fight Goliath. Israelites didn't have a 10-foot tall person to go fight. We read another place in 1 Samuel that Saul was head and shoulders taller than the rest of the men, right? He was head and shoulders taller than the rest of Israel. So Saul may have been a 7-footer himself, or maybe people were shorter back then. Who knows how tall he was? But he was the biggest guy, probably. He was their biggest guy, and he was the king. He should have been the one to go out and fight. And yet, we see that here's Saul, the ideal candidate from the world's perspective, and as we read the Old Testament, we see how he fails again and again. You know, he doesn't do that well, and God doesn't use him according to his strength. God picks the least likely candidate to go out and fight Goliath. He picks the guy who's weak, who's smallest, to go out and fight the champion. He does not say, "Let me get a 10-foot guy." And when David slew Goliath, I don't think anyone doubted that God was the one who delivered Goliath into David's hand. You know, I don't think anyone's sitting there like, clearly, David, Goliath, sure, he took him down. Like, why is this a surprise? Had a 10-foot tall Israelite gone out there, they would have been like, yeah, those 10-foot tall Israelites are better than the 10-foot tall Philistine. You know, it would have caused them to miss God's hand in the victory. They wouldn't have seen the Lord, he doesn't operate this way, or he often doesn't. Sure, he sometimes uses men in the ways that, in things that they're good at. But oftentimes he says, what is this person really bad at? Let me use him in this area. Let me triumph through this. And, you know, just with Moses, as we thought about with Moses here, it didn't matter how good you were at speaking. I don't think anyone was going to convince Pharaoh to let them go. They needed God to convince Pharaoh of that. And we remember that Lord sent the 10-foot Israelite to go fight Goliath, it's going to be difficult for him to not let that go to his head. Like, yes, he's just a better 10-footer than Goliath. You know, it's going to be hard. And that is one of the sad realities of what happens when God uses people according to what they're good at, according to their strength. Let's turn to Judges chapter 7. Drive this point home. Judges chapter 7, and here we have the story of Gideon. In the story of Gideon, when he goes and he's going to fight, in verse 1 we read, "Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod. And so the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, My own hand has saved me.' And the Lord says to Gideon," you know the story, he thins down the ranks of the Israelites who are going to fight the Midianites. And why does he do this? "I don't want Israel to even have the notion that they somehow achieve this victory on their own. It needs to be very clear to them that they had nothing to do with the victory. So I need to weaken the army, and I need to use them according to their weakness. Because if I don't, it's going to go to their heads. Like, they were so good. We're the ones who won this victory. We're the ones who did it." And we can think of persons in the Bible who, they were used according to strength, and it doesn't go well. We already thought of Saul. You know, he's head and shoulders taller. The Israelites loved him, but it didn't go well. We can think of Samson, right? Here's someone that's used according to strength. It doesn't end well when God uses someone according to strength. He needs to use men according to weakness so that they will see his hand in it, so that they won't lose sight of it. And then let's just hit our last point here. When God uses us through our weakness, we grow a lot more than if he uses us through our strength. It's always the difficult times in our lives that cause us to grow spiritually. And, you know, we remember that we need those roots. We need to grow those roots. So that if we want to, we need to have that close relationship with the Lord. And also, God is able to win, so it doesn't matter to him whether he uses someone according to strength or weakness. But an added advantage to using someone according to weakness is it helps us to grow as believers. And this is why, another reason why he will often choose to use us according to our weakness. You know, we can think of, let's have an illustration here. Let's think of a biker, an Olympic biker. You know, gold medal Olympic biker. But he doesn't know how to swim, and he's got to compete in a triathlon. When it comes to training, he would probably rather ride his bike all day. But that's not going to help his time. You know, the difference between the gold medal winner and the next person in biking, the time is going to be tight, right, in any Olympic sport. But if he doesn't even know how to swim, if he spends his time working on swimming, his triathlon time will improve rapidly, even though he would probably rather ride his bike and train on his bike. The same for us. If God uses us in our weakness to minister for him, the growth that we will experience will be much higher than if he uses us according to our strength. If he uses us the ways that make us feel comfortable and doing the things that we feel good at. You know, there's not much growth there for us. God is out there to help us grow. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Just in the time we have left, read two quick passages about how we need to be joyful when we face trials or tribulations, because they help us to grow. And by definition, when God is using us according to our weakness, it's going to be a trial to us. It's going to be a tribulation for us. It's going to be hard for us. And Romans chapter 5, verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Paul's telling us to glory in tribulations. Once again, if God's using us according to our weakness, it's going to be a tribulation to us. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James, once again, here says, you know, we need to be joyful when we face trials, because it produces good things in us. And what we want to take home from this, when God uses us according to our weaknesses, it produces good things in us. On the contrary, when he uses us according to our strength, it doesn't matter. So, in summary, we want to go home and remember to watch for God's call according to our weaknesses, according to the things that we're terrible at, because oftentimes, that's what God calls us to minister in, and there are reasons for that, as we discussed. You know, God calls us according to our weaknesses, oftentimes, and it's easy for us to say, yeah, I want to minister for the Lord. What am I good at? And we listen for the Lord to call us in the way he really wish he would call us, but that's often not the way that he calls us. He calls us according to our weaknesses, and when he does that, and we triumph through him, it's very clear to us that it's the Lord who won the victory, and it had nothing to do with us. And the other thing is, when he uses us in our weakness, we grow a lot more. And the Lord wants us to grow deep roots as believers. He wants us to. So he messes with the situation in the background to ensure this happens. He has a different agenda than us. It's never about winning the battle the way we see it. He has his own agenda and his own way that he's trying to win. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the things that you tell us in your word and for your willingness to come here to this earth and to refine us and to work through us and to do what's best for us, even if it doesn't feel good to us. We thank you that you care about us enough to build us up. And we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, and for his willingness to come to earth and to make all this possible, to pay the penalty for our sins. We pray that we would not lose sight of you as we walk according throughout this week, and that we would keep our eyes focused on you. We pray that you would watch over each one of us and keep us and care for us and guide us.